Eli.
All right. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. All right. God is good all the time. And that's in Hebrew. And we are ready for this message today. What was the name of the movie again, Drea?
Awesome.
Now I'm going to tell them what we're going to watch.
The Cokeville Miracle. Thank you.
What's that?
The Cokeville Miracle.
The Cokeville Miracle. If you haven't seen that movie, you have to see that movie. Remember the time the lady came here that had the book that her son went to, her son had died and went to heaven, and then when he came back, when they resuscitated him, they were told him he had died. And he said, oh, I know, I went to heaven. And then he said, this kid was there, right? Mm-hmm. This kid was there and told him his address where his parents.
Oh, I remember that.
I remember. The lady came in and she brought some of the books. And her kid had seen this other kid in heaven. And the kid in heaven told him his address and said, could you go tell my parents that Jesus saved and that I'm in heaven and they need Jesus? And they went to the address and the mother knocked on the door and like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but my son had a thing and he went into a coma or he died. And he said, in heaven, he saw your kid. Do you have a kid name? And they said, yes, but he died like 6 years ago. And he says, well, my son saw him in heaven. He gave us this address and told us to come talk to you about Jesus.
Wow.
And she brought the book here because I loaned it to somebody and I loaned it to a lady who had cancer.
It was an elderly lady, right?
Yeah.
That came? Yeah.
Right. And I loaned it to a lady who had cancer that I was witnessing to in the metro. And she had cancer. I prayed over her. She read the book and I came back and she said, they said they can't find the cancer, that it was, it was like maybe a mistake on the
false positive.
She's like, no, it was Jesus.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was one of the movies. It's kind of like that, you know, it's kind of like, you can't believe how God intervenes and gets into things. Okay.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. I heard you guys in there at Bible study. I was like, Lord, these people are all in my message today. Get them out of my message. So, I want to tell you this before I really get into the message, because it's very important that you know exactly where the Lord is directing this, okay? I was going to say yesterday, but it was actually Friday, and the Lord was saying to me that the third temple is about to disappear from the earth. And I'm like, the third temple? Because I know there's been two temples, and both of them got destroyed. And I'm like, well, they haven't built the third temple yet. And he said, the third temple is the church. And he said, the third temple, Israel doesn't know that the temple of God is in the earth already. They're asking for the third temple. And in fact, the third temple that's going to be built, he said, I will have nothing to do with it because I won't live there. But the Antichrist will come in there and sit down and claim to the world that he's God. But God said, the temple that they're going to build, my spirit will not live there. My spirit has lived in three temples. The first one that Moses had built, the second one that Solomon had built, his spirit came down and dwelt inside of the temple. Moses' temple, his spirit came and dwelt inside of the Holy of Holies. And in the church, his spirit comes and dwells in the Holy of Holies, which is our inside of us, in our hearts, right? But the temple that they're waiting for, God's like, I have nothing to do with that. But the third temple is about to disappear. And I just wanted to look at that today as far as the temple is concerned, because we are that temple. We are that temple where God was explaining to me, I live inside of my temple, okay? He had a temple built. And when Moses finished building the temple, it says the Spirit of God came and rested in the Kadosh Kadoshim, or the Holy of Holies, and he sat there in the Holy of Holies. So God had a tabernacle. What's a tabernacle? A dwelling place on earth that he could be there among his people. Then God had Solomon build a temple, and when Solomon finished building the temple, you'll see the Spirit of God came down and settled in the Holy of Holies. So God had a place to live on earth that was built for him to live in, right? To be among his people. But since there's no physical temple, God says that's okay, because the church, I'm going to live inside of them, because this is my ultimate vision, is to live inside of people, okay? Because when you live inside of people, you become personal, okay? So God is living inside of the third temple, but Israel lost two temples. They're about to lose the third one, and they have no idea that the temple of God is already in the earth. So let's get started. Okay. I want to tell you guys how this all started, because who knows when the temple got destroyed? Who knows when the temple got destroyed?
70.
On the 9th of Av, right? Which is around July, okay? Which is in the month of July for us, but it's Av is like July. Early part of August is the 9th of Av, okay? Now, the temple got destroyed in the 9th of Av, on the 9th of Av, the first temple that Babylonians destroyed and came in and burned down. It got destroyed on the 9th of Av. Then the next temple they build, when the Romans came in to destroy it, do you think they said, hey, let's wait until the 9th of Av and do it at the same time that the Babylonians destroyed the first temple? Or do you think God said, no, you're going to wait until I give you permission to destroy it, because it has to be destroyed on the exact same day as the other temple, okay? So God made it where both temples were destroyed on the exact same day. Now, somebody was asking me, like, if you got in a car accident on your birthday, and then the next year, you got in a car accident on your birthday, I said, the next year, I ain't driving on my birthday. Well, that's how Israel is. So Israel now has a prayer time. And their prayer time starts before the 9th of Av, I think in the month of, let me make sure it's in the month. Yes. So their prayer time starts on the 17th of Tumas, and it goes all the way to the 9th of Av. They pray for 21 days. You know why? Because they're scared of the 9th of Av. So they pray for 21 days from the 17th of Tumas to the 9th of Av to make sure that when that day comes, that they're in line with God and they're not in the wrong place, right? Because there are at least 10 episodes in Jewish history that disasters have happened on the 9th of Av, okay? From Hitler to the deciding to the final solution on the 9th of Av. Hitler getting inaugurated, 9th of Av. So all of these, them getting kicked out of Spain, chrysolite, that night where they destroyed all the Jewish businesses and kicked all the Jews out of Spain, 9th of Av. So the Jews are very leery of the 9th of Av. And the 9th of Av is coming, so when the 17th of Tumas comes, they're going to a 21-day fast, okay? And I'm going to be praying for Israel in that 21-day fast, because they know history, and we should know history, okay? Because if we are that temple, Israel has lost two, and the third temple is still in the earth, okay? So let's go. Let's look at this. I'm the only one that has the notes this time, because it's not, what is this?
Oh,
like, That's old fashioned. That's back in the old days of S4C. Okay. So it says here, Tish B'Av, which is the ninth of Av, is an annual fast in Judaism on which a number of disasters in Jewish history occurred. Primarily the destruction of both temples, one in Babylon in 586 BC, and then the second temple by the Romans in 70 AD. And the Lord said, stick to your study and do what I told you to do. So I am going to do that. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Pastor Ben, they're right there in that front pocket. Yo, you gotta do it. You gotta unzip it though. You gotta undo it though. There you go. Pastor Ben is smart. He's like, you do it. You know your bag. Okay. I apologize for that. That's not professional. Okay, are you guys in Exodus chapter 25? Exodus chapter 25. I think we're going to start reading. Let's see here. Okay, I'm going to start reading this from the front, from the beginning of Exodus chapter 25. It says, the Lord said to Moses, Vayomer Elohim a Moshe, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold and silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin, dyed in red, red dye, hides of sea cows, acacia wood, oil. Well, anyway, he wants them to give all of this stuff. They can donate all of this. For what purpose? He says, then, verse 8, have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make the tabernacle in all of its finishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. Because he took Moses up and showed Moses what? The exact pattern of the temple in heaven. And he says, make yours the same way that I show you, okay? Because he wants you to know there's a duality going on here, okay? There is a temple in heaven, and there is a temple in the earth, okay? And so God is having him build this temple. Why would God do this though? I mean, God is omnipresent, we say, but he says, no, I wanna have a place, a home where I can dwell in, right? And live amongst my people, okay? Because God is very personal. And that's what we have to understand. First religion in the world is what? What's the first religion in the world? God and Adam. No, he had not built a church yet. There was no temples yet. It was just a personal relationship between God and Adam, right?
Right.
So this is the first relationship, and it's really a shame that God has to do all of this just to get back to, this is what I wanted. I just wanted to live among you and be personal, you know? But God is going through all of this to get us back to, this was always supposed to be me and you.
Yep.
Okay? Talking, conversing every day, personal, you got a problem, I got a problem. Let's talk about it, let's get it done, right? That's the way it was supposed to be from the beginning. But with the invention of religion, okay? They're trying to draw us away from that so that we think that church is the answer and not personal relationship. Mm-hmm. One of the Jewish guys I heard talking this past week, he said he grew up in a Jewish home, and he said, you know what? I saw a movie about Jesus and it made me believe in Jesus. So he said, I wanted to go to a messianic church to see how, you know, what they do there. And he said, everybody he kept talking to kept talking about their personal relationship, He's like, we never heard that in Judaism. We don't have a personal relationship. God is God, and we're here. And, you know, and he says, but as he got to know them and as they explained Christianity to him, and then he started hearing the voice of God while he was doing things, God would tell him, don't do this, do that, don't. It became so personal. He said, I started saying it. Well, I'm in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said he told his Jewish parents that, and they go, oh my God, get him a psychologist. And they made him go see a psychologist. Because no one understands that when Christians say, well, you know, the Lord told me the other day, to us, we sound like, well, you know, we just, Jesus lives in us, we're personal. We just think of it that way. But to them, it sounds like they're some nuts. They're like walking around saying God's talking to them all the time, right? And he does, all the time. Every little thing, issue after issue, right?
Yes.
I didn't like the way you did that. You should go back and apologize. We'd be like, when I first got saved, the voice said, you need to break up with your girlfriend. I was like, who is that? Telling me to break up with my girlfriend. You're getting too personal. You know what I mean? But God is very personal, and we have to understand why he wants to dwell with us, okay? Now, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8. Second Kings chapter 25, verse 8. I have to stick to this Bible study because God says somebody needs it.
Amen.
Okay. Now, in chapter 25 of 2 Kings, Nebuchadnezzar has already went and captured all of Israel. They're all in Babylon. Except there's a small group of Jews that he has allowed to stay in Jerusalem under a vassal king and say, you can rule over these people and you'll be my voice here as long as you obey what Babylon tells you to do. You can rule over your small little group here in Jerusalem, okay? So the king stays there, but then in the 19th year, the king started getting kind of uppity. Start saying, I don't know why we got to do what Babylon tells us to do. You know what I mean? I'm the king here. And then, so the king of Babylon said, Nebuchadnezzar says, take the army, go besiege the place, encircle it, and because we're about to destroy the whole place and bring the rest of them out of there. You okay? So it says here, it says, on the seventh day of the fifth month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, commander of the imperial guard, an official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal place, and all the house at Jerusalem. Every important building he burnt down. The whole Babylonian army under the commander of the imperial guard broke down the wall around Jerusalem. So the first temple is now destroyed, and the people of God are all in exile in Babylon, okay? Now, they stay in Babylon for 70 years because God says in 70 years, I'm gonna bring you back. I'm gonna bring you out, right? This is where Cyrus comes in. And so let's go look at Daniel chapter 9. I want you to see one very important thing here, because everyone thinks that Jesus is the first one to prophesy that the temple was going to be destroyed. But actually it's prophesied in Daniel chapter 9. So let's look at this. You guys there? Okay. Now, it says here in verse 24, 77s are decreed for your people and for your holy city. Who's he talking to? Daniel. Who's his people? Israel. What's his holy city? Jerusalem. So he's talking to Daniel about his people, and he says 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgressions, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and to anoint the Kadosh Kadoshim. The last thing he says is the Spirit of God is going to come live in the temple in the Holy of Holies. That's the last fulfillment of the prophecy. So God is saying a temple is going to be built again, and I am going to come and dwell inside of that temple at the very end, okay? Now, let's go to the next verse. Know and understand this from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Mashiach Nagi. Your Bible might say the anointed one, right? In the Hebrew says, until the Mashiach Nagid, the ruler comes, there will be 7 7s and 62 sevens, okay? So now you guys got to understand, the Mashiach Nagid means somebody's coming who's going to be a king, but he's going to rule by example. That's the Nagid means someone who rules by example. So the person that's coming is coming to show people how to do it. Okay, how to obey God, how to live for God, how to stay obedient to God, how to minister to people, how to love people. He is a Mashiach Nagid, okay? So he's coming, and it says here, the ruler will come, will come and will be 7 7s and 62 sevens. So that's 69 of the 70th year. It will be rebuilt, what? The temple, right? The streets and the trenches, but in troubled times. So in the time of Jeremiah and the time of Ezra, they did get the temple rebuilt, but in troubled times, because the Arabs were on them every day, okay? After the 62 and 7, here it is, the anointed one, once again, the Mashiach Nagid, will be cut off. Now they use a Hebrew word that's only used once. And it means to die for a capital crime, but it's a double meaning word that you not only are you dying for a capital crime, you also have to start a blood covenant. So to be karat, which is the Greek word, the Hebrew word, you have to, in that death, you have to also start a covenant, okay? So it says we'll be cut off and we'll have nothing. And it says, the people of the ruler who Jesus died under the rulership of was who? The Romans, right? It says, will come and destroy the sanctuary. So after Jesus dies, the ruler of Rome is going to have the sanctuary destroyed. You hear that? Now that's a prophecy that Israel, any Jew, should not be able to look past, because they say the Messiah is going to come, and right after he dies, the temple is going to be destroyed. So wow. So it happened just as Jesus said, or just as Daniel says. Jesus comes, he dies on the cross as a Mashiach Nagid, and he dies he starts a blood covenant, and he dies for a capital crime, and he starts a blood covenant. Then 38 years later, the temple gets destroyed. So Daniel is telling you how the process is going to happen before Jesus even gets there, okay? Now, it says this here in in the sanctuary, it says, the end will come like a flood. Now he's moving on to the very end. War will continue to the end. Desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with the many for 1 7. Listen, this covenant that he's making is not just for Israel. The covenant is for the whole world. The covenant is for many. He's making a covenant that the whole world's going to be at peace, that everything's going to be better. Why do they need him to do this? What's going to happen that they need someone to step forward and say, okay, we're done with the wars. I'm going to take care of you. And I'm even going to let Israel rebuild their temple, right? Who is this guy? Antichrist. You think God's going to come live in his temple?
No.
His temple left. Remember, his temple left. He already took his temple out of the world. The next time that a temple gets built on earth, Jesus says, I'm going to do that. Okay? And when he does that, he says, and then I'm going to show you where I'm going to sit for 1,000 years with my people as they reign and rule with me for 1,000 years. Now, you say, this sounds great, Pastor Sandy. How can we be sure of it? Check the Bible. Nothing is prophesied has not come true.
Right.
So you can take all your money and just lay it on the in Vegas and said, I'm betting this is going to happen. And you would win. Okay? So I'm letting you know, this is your future. This is what's about to happen. And I can't convince people that this is about to happen, even though everything that God has prophesied has already happened. Okay? So let's continue. Okay, let's continue this. Okay. So it says, desolations have been decreed until it is poured out on them. So he's talking about the middle of the tribulation. But now, oh, this is it. Hold up, I'm sorry. And it says here, I'm done. Okay, so now, remember, the last thing that's going to happen is he's going to anoint the Holy of Holies. So that means another temple is going to be rebuilt, and God is going to come and dwell in that temple. And in that temple, God is going to dwell among men. Okay? So let's continue. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 23. Wow. Are you guys enjoying this Bible study?
Amen.
Because the Lord says, don't look at you, do what I tell you. I'm like, I'm not worried about them. I hope they're enjoying it, but it don't matter. I'm going to obey you, Father. Okay? So, in Matthew chapter 23, let's go to verse 36. I'm sorry, let's go to verse 35. And it says, and so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, who you murdered between the temple and the altar. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's saying, all the judgment's about to come on you. He says, I tell you the truth. All this will come upon this generation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather you, your children together as hens gather her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left desolate. For I tell you the truth, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So until you request for me to come and save you, you will not see me again. So you know why? Now that Moses was supposed to speak to the rock, because the rock only gets hit the first time. The second time, the people have to speak to the rock for the living water to come out. The first time they hit the rock and he died on the cross, but because of that, it brought forth living water. But the second time, you're not hitting nobody. You speak and you request, and I'll come and give you living water. So Moses messed up the model, right? But now, here we are, they're talking about the destruction of the city again. In chapter 24, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when the disciples came up to him to call his attention to the building. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. So now the present temple that's there Now listen, you guys, and the Lord really wanted me to emphasize this. They don't have a religion to practice without a temple. Do you understand that? Everything that they do, as far as life is concerned, has to do with temple services. If they want forgiveness, they have to get an animal, take it to the temple, sacrifice the animal so they can get forgiveness. If they want to speak to God, they got to go to the temple, talk to the priest, give a fellowship offering, and be able to say, we need to commune with God. Everything that they wanted to do concerning God needed a temple. So without a temple, they have no relationship. So it's impossible for them to have a personal relationship with God because they don't have a temple. We have a personal relationship because we have a temple. Everything that you need to do is inside your temple.
Yes.
Say you mess up, like, oh, I hate not being a perfect Christian. Not again. I got to go to the temple. Oh, right here. I just got to open my mouth, give a sacrifice, confess what I've done, and I'm forgiven. Because my temple is where all the services are happening. I want to give God a fellowship offer. All I got to do is go to God. Oh, wait a minute. It's right here. I can raise my hands, praise Him, and give Him blessings, right? It's all inside the temple. You understand? So we live in the presence of God inside the temple, and we have something personal that's going on. If you don't understand that the Ruach Kodesh lives inside of you, then you don't understand the importance of keeping the temple holy. You understand?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things you wouldn't do inside the temple, okay? Even if you wanted to do something bad, like let's go watch dirty movies. Let's go to the church first and do it, right? That would be crazy. No one would say that. You know why? Because they like, not in the building, we could get cursed. But since we are the building,
right,
you defile the temple every time you decide to do something inside of you.
Yes.
So it's very hard to get away from not defiling the temple. This is why God says the judgment upon us is worse, because if you already know Him and you know His name and you walk away from Him, it says you already were in a personal relationship and you walked away from it. It would be better if you had never known Him than to know Him and then to walk away from it. You understand? You are in a personal relationship, and guess what? Just like Samuel, remember they took little Samuel and gave him to the priest. Little boy grew up inside of the temple. You're the same. God took you and put you in, and now you live inside the temple, and the presence of God is always there. And so you have to remember where you are and who you are so you can make your conduct according to the place that you live. You understand? Let's go have a cigarette. Now, let's not do it here. Let's go inside the temple and smoke it. You wouldn't do that, would you? But since you are the temple, that's what they people do. This is why God said you've got to repent. You can't keep messing over. If you destroy the temple of God, God will destroy you. What temple was He talking about? So I'm very careful inside my... This is how personal... You are not allowed to have an attitude inside your temple. You know we are past the law. When you can't have an attitude inside the temple, that means that it's getting a little bit too personal, right? He's like, Lord, this is between me and her. I just don't like... And God's like, go apologize and take her a gift. You're like, okay. You know what I mean? But that's personal. God's like, He's dealing with you. Because He's trying to conform you into what? The image of Christ. Okay? Now, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 9. Hallelujah. This is why I don't understand when people say, like, oh yeah, he's a Christian. I said, wow, he's cursing all the time. I was like, why is he using so much profanity? Oh, he's a Christian. It's hard for me to believe like somebody's a Christian when you see that their behavior is not conducive to somebody living inside of a temple. You understand? It's hard for me to believe it, even though I know, and it's probably being snobby, because once you've grown in Christ, you're like, how could you possibly watch a rated R movie? I'm so holy now, right? And because I don't watch rated R movies, right? If it's like PG-13, we might give it a chance, right? But since it's so personal with God and us, it's like even that has to come under the authority of the Spirit of God that's living inside of you. You understand? So let's look at this temple and see what happened. In Ezekiel chapter 9, it says here, then I heard him call out in a loud voice, bring the guards of the city here, each with a weapon in his hand. And I saw six men, wow, coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faced north, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. With them was a man clothed in linen and had a riding kit at his side, in his side. They came in and stood beside the bronze altar. What's the metal bronze mean?
Judgment.
See, that's what I want. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want students. I want people who want to know the word of God. Do you understand? So when you see Jesus standing with bronze feet, you know those feet about to step on earth. And just because he has a hair like wool don't mean he has an afro. He has bronze feet, right? So people can't just tell you anything when you're studying, okay? So that's why he has this bronze, okay? So they came in. See, I made Pastor Ben cough. I'm sorry, Pastor Ben. Okay. They came in and stood beside the bronze altar. Judgment is about to hit. Now the glory of God of Israel went up above the cherubim where it had been and moved to the threshold of the temple. So the glory of God don't belong in the threshold of the temple. You know where the glory of God is, in the Holy of Holies. What's he doing? Why has he moved to the threshold? Watch this. Then the Lord called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing kit at his side and said to him, go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the forehead of those who grieve and lament over the detestable things that are done in the temple. So God is seeing what's going on in the temple, and this is what's about to bring his judgment, okay? And it says, as I listened, he said to the others, follow him through the city and kill without showing pity or compassion, slaughter old, young men, maidens, women, and children, but do not touch anyone who has the mark. Begin at the sanctuary. So he didn't say begin outside with the pagan people that are doing bad things. He said begin with what's going on in the sanctuary. Now, okay, you got to know God's heart. So they began with the elders who were in the front of the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the court with the slain. Go. So they went out and began killing throughout the city. While they were killing, I was left alone, and I fell face down crying out, ah, sovereign Lord, are you going to destroy the entire remnant of Israel in the outpouring of your wrath on Jerusalem? He answered me, the sin of the house of Israel and Judah are exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city is full of injustice. They say, the Lord has forsaken the land. The Lord does not see. So I will not look on them when with pity or spare them, but I will bring down on their own heads what they have done. Then the man with the linen and the writing kit at his side brought back word saying, I have done what you commanded. Oh my goodness. To read about God's judgment, kind of scary for humans, especially when you talking about kids, because he says everybody, okay? Now, I want to tell you something, because when I read that part, I realized that humans, all humans see other humans as being innately good people and deserving of opportunity, you know, for goodness and life, right? Because you guys don't see humans the way God sees humans, okay? It's like when my friend and that the house had burned down, but they all got out of the house, but their house had burned out, and they were all there crying on the sidewalk. And so I went and said, what happened? They were like, our house is burning down. And they're all crying. But all of them, the mother, the kids, they're all standing outside. So I start crying too. Now I got saved. I was 17 by this time. And the Lord wanted to know, why was I crying? Because he said they were safe. He says, I don't want you to ever look at a building the same as you look at life. Because you see a body destroyed does not mean life has been destroyed.
That's right.
And so what you see as judgment is God saying, come on home. What you see as judgment is God saying, I'm going to give that person real life. You understand? So because you're not on the other end of judgment. Now, everybody that receives judgment ain't going to life. Some of them are being destroyed to be destroyed. You understand? But you have to see life the same way God does. Because when they said, oh, there was a... Now, in that movie, all of those kids would have died. They'd be in heaven.
Yeah.
They'd be in the kingdom of God. But it was God's design that none of them go. And I'm going to ruin it for you, because all of those kids who saw angels during that whole mess, they whispered to each other in each other's ear. They said, we're going to see a prayer, pass it on. Because they didn't want the bomber to hear. We're going to see a prayer, pass it on. So it went around the whole room. So all the kids are like, now. And they all bowed their heads and started praying. And now all these kids are going, and we looked up, and there's all these lights in the ceiling. They look like bulbs. And the dad showed him a bulb. Isn't he like this? And he turned the bulb on. He's like, no, it was like that. They were bright, okay? So you have to understand that God is in the middle. 500,000 children were ended up dead because of the Iraq and war between United States and Iraq. It wasn't really a war. It was us bullying them and just not caring about their people or their children for kids. 500,000, and the lady goes, well, it's necessary if it's for America. But what do you think happened to 5,000 kids? Playing at the park in heaven. So I want you to understand, you never judge God about judging people, because when God judges, he's judging from a eyesight that you can't see.
Amen.
So understand, God is love, okay? Amen. Now, I want us...
10 minutes, man.
Okay, that's good. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians, probably the only scripture I did not mark. Ephesians chapter 15, yeah, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to get my glasses on. Hallelujah. God is good. I'm telling you right now, God is good. It's one kid that was going through so much torment in his life. He said, God allowed me to come out of my body until the torment was over. He said, I was sitting up above them while they were tormenting me. And he said, God allowed me to sit with him while they were doing it. And I'm like, he said, God has given us this incredible ability to leave our body when things get too bad. I was like, wow, we know nothing about what God's doing. You understand? We're like a dog trying to explain how to turn a TV on and are the people in there real or not. You know what I mean? It's like, when you don't understand, you got to trust God. You understand? I trust God. God told me there'll be nobody in hell that doesn't deserve to be there, and there'll be nobody in heaven that doesn't deserve to be there. And I went, shut my mouth. He said, I know how to judge. I've been at this for a while, okay? You don't try to judge me about what I'm doing, okay? You just be obedient and do what you're supposed to do, okay?
Wow, amen.
Uh-oh, that was personal.
Yes, that did it.
Okay, you're in Ephesians chapter 4. You're in verse 30. Okay, let's see. And it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed. Okay. Now, can you grieve the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay. If he's a person, yes.
Yes.
If he's the, it's just the power of God. It's the it.
The it.
It's God the Father, and it moved into the room. Mm-hmm. No. Holy Spirit is a person.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is God.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
You can break his heart.
Yes.
Okay? So while you're living in the temple, don't break Jesus' heart by not listening to what he has to tell you concerning you while he's trying to get you to heaven. Okay? Because what the parent is doing is telling the kids what to do to survive life. Yes. The ball goes in the street, don't chase after it. Yes. Why are you always telling us what to do? It's our ball. Don't grieve me.
Right.
Do what I say.
Right.
Amen. I'm trying to save your life.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Come on. So now it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed. Now love the, see, the NIV works it out perfectly sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes the King James works it out perfectly. But it's good to go and study the original word,
yes.
Okay? So it says you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Mm.
Some Bible says you were sealed until the day of redemption.
Right.
Meaning that the Holy Spirit can't go anywhere until you get redeemed.
He locked in there.
And see, that's why people who practice once saved, always saved, they read it. See, I'm sealed until the day of redemption. No, the scripture says for the day of redemption.
Yeah.
Like I'm giving you a ticket for the game.
Right.
Okay? When you get there, you better have the ticket.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So the other definitions for it says you were sealed towards the day of redemption. So the same word can mean towards or for.
Yeah.
You understand? You are not sealed until you get redeemed, because you're in a process of sanctification and you live in a temple and you're on your way somewhere and you've been sealed. You've been given a ticket
right.
for that day.
Right.
Yes.
And when you get there, have on the garment that God gave you.
Yes.
Because in order to get into God's party, you have to wear the clothes that he gave you.
Yes.
That's just the history of a king's party in Israel. I gave you something to wear. Where is it? I decided to wear my jeans and this t-shirt.
Ooh.
Take him, throw him in the outer darkness where there will be gnashing of teeth. Because you wear what the King gave you, which is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, it says here, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind. You gotta get too personal. Why I gotta be kind all the time? Sometimes people just get on my nerve. Be kind.
Amen.
I'm trying to conform you to the image of God.
Yes.
I'm trying to get you out of here. You understand? You got a ticket to already to go, okay? I've already sealed you with a ticket to go. It's for your redemption. When I tell you something, I'm trying to tell you to save your life. I want to go to the party. They're just going to have a few beers, you know, and a rock band, and everything's going to be cool. Holy Spirit said, you can't go. Why can't I go? How are you going to tell me how to live my life? That's what I hate about religion. You don't have a religion, first of all.
Right.
You have a personal God that lives inside of you, and I'm saying you can't go. Marry, I married somebody. You know, the Holy Spirit told me, if you marry her, she's going to always be a headache to you. And I'm like, I'm going to Vegas and marry her anyway. You can't tell me. I told the Holy Spirit that. You can't tell me. Five of the worst years of my life. And the Holy Spirit, like, I was trying to save you from all this. But since you didn't listen, go ahead, have a great marriage. I'll even help you with your little goofy suit, which I had a goofy suit on.
5 minutes,
but you have to listen. Why? This is personal. Who's telling you you have to be kind and compassionate to one another? Okay? Forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Who's telling you to do all this personal stuff? The Spirit that lives inside the temple. Who's supposed to keep the temple burning hot with coals and make sure the fire is always lit for God?
Priest.
The priest. Guess what? God has made you a priest inside of your temple. So you don't need somebody else to offer up praises and forgiveness and all of that. You don't need anybody else. God has appointed you priest of your own temple. Isn't that awesome? Everything we need to have a relationship with God is inside the temple.
Love it.
And the crazy thing, which I'm supposed to tell you, is that Israel has lost two temples and they're about to lose the third one and don't even know it. Because when we leave, who's praying for Israel?
Nobody.
I know right now the church is praying for Israel. We're praying that God protects them and puts a wall around them. We're praying that God fulfills his word. We're praying for Israel. But on the 9th of Av, Israel could lose their best friend in the world. And they don't even know where their friends. They were out rioting in front of a Christian church in Israel, saying they're trying to pull Jews away from God and they don't want Christian churches in Israel. Do the Christian churches hate them? The pastor said, well, we know they don't know any better right now. We just praying for them and we want them to know that we love them if they hear us.
Right.
Why would that pastor say something like that? These people were outside pushing women to the ground and telling them not to go inside of a Christian church in Israel. They were out there pushing people are coming inside bleeding. And the pastor goes, well, we love them. We know they don't understand right now. We just want to pray for their forgiveness. Everybody bow your head. I'm like, that is so personal.
Yes, it is.
That means the Holy Spirit is inside of him,
yes,
telling him to do the right thing, even at a bad time.
Yeah.
We're on our way somewhere. You understand? We're on our way somewhere that people who are there are like us. You understand? We're nothing like the people that are here.
Amen.
We're nothing like them. They want us to go to a party. They got music on. There's profanity in every song. They don't dance to Boogie Night no more. They dance to profanity. You understand? Music has changed. It went from love songs to sexual songs to satanic songs.
Yep.
Okay? From love songs to sexual songs to gangster songs to satanic songs. Now it's stuck on Satanism.
Yep.
You understand? So the whole world's changed. You don't even really belong here. So the Spirit of God that's inside of you that has made you an ambassador of another city, which is not here but is in heaven. You know what an ambassador is? You're here representing heaven.
Yes.
So when I see you, I want to see how heavenly citizens conduct themselves. You understand? Put me inside of a part. I was working that thing. They put me inside. All the guys are getting there so they can go inside, so they can look at girls and feel like they're a bouncer, but they're not. But the other people they put in the parking lot. I get there late, so they put me in a parking lot every time. I don't want to go in there. Why? Because my spirit don't agree with them.
Right.
You understand? We're on our way somewhere. We're about to disappear, and we're Israel's closest friend. So we got to keep praying for Israel. Because the second part of Psalms 120, the first part is deliver us from lies, the pandemic, and the false race war.
Right.
Okay? Because they want you mad. If you look now, everything's about Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. And all they're trying to do is incite you for the next thing they show you on TV. Because they want you out burning your community. They want you out mad and going to jail and running out of Walmart with a handful of TVs and sweatsuits. It's crazy. That manipulation through what? Media. So the Holy Spirit said, you need to stop watching this all the time, because this Jesus is still the most important thing. It's not Black Lives Matters. The most important thing for you right now is Jesus, because the temple is about to leave. You try rioting during the tribulation. They'll shoot you in a second. They're being set up. Because they don't think same rules. Church is gone, same rules. No, different rules. Ain't no Holy Spirit here right now. Okay? They're being set up. So let's focus on Christ and get us out of here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.